Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us on another session of The Future of Drug Discovery. Today, we have Konrad. Thank you very much for joining us today, Konrad.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Would you mind setting the context for tonight's discussion and tell a little bit about yourself?
All right, super. So my name is Konrad Kavchuk, as very nicely introduced by Murat, and I am the founder of a natural antibody. So basically, like, as you can see, like, in my name, as I was punching it in, like, I'm Konrad Kavchuk, Mr. Natural Antibody, yeah? And that's quite accurate, yeah, because I'm the founder of the company. So, like, you know, this just, you know, sets the context of, like, you know, this discussion, as far as I can remember after just, you know, finishing my undergrad, just, you know, doing computational antibody analysis. Yeah? So it's pretty nice to see the field just, you know, growing from, you know, some people actually looking computational antibodies to actually just, you know, everyone converging and just, you know, saying that, like, this is the next big thing and that is going to revolutionize the way that we develop biologics.
Yeah, well, definitely so. At least from our perspective, we have so much conviction that spring is coming. How do you see that your work, your company fitting into that convergence?
So I hope that, like, that, you know, we are going to, you know, contribute our small brick into that. So we are definitely not a huge pharma company, let's put it like that. And I always very much believed in do, like, you know, what you do best. And this was just, you know, the development of analytical tools for antibodies. Yeah. So, like, which is a very, 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 very narrow domain, what it seemed like, but that's what appears useful right now. Yeah. And I hope that, like, in our endeavors to develop better analytical tools for computational characterization of antibodies, like, you know, we will change the paradigm from, you know, like, in the computing being used very much as the facilitator, the, you know, the helper along the way, to the actual driving force behind the discovery of novel therapeutic antibodies.
Okay. I have to parse a few things that you said there, and one of them, the bioinformatics tools being the driver of the discovery, maybe therapeutics, diagnostics. First of all, can you tell us a little bit more about natural antibody, the services you offer under that, and how did it reach today's stage? Because I know that you raised some funding and you have a bigger team now and so.
Of course. So it started off as very much a one-man show. So, like, you know, this was pretty much me, just, you know, going from company to company, just, you know, offering my expertise in developing, you know, developing and using computational antibody analysis tools. But I quickly saw that, so, like, and there is quite a lot of the common denominator between many clients, like, and these were, you know, big pharma, these were CROs, small startups, was that, like, you know, there was quite a lot of knowledge spread out there in the scientific literature. There was quite a lot of data definitely just, you know, laying around. And there was always the barrier between the IT problem of using those methods and data and the actual expertise problem. And that's, like, in the IT problem being that, you know, just, you know, getting into one, you know, even some of the tools, just, you know, installing them, it might be difficult for a bioinformatician because it's, you know, a hassle. Like, you don't know, like, what libraries to use, like, you don't know what libraries were being used. And for people that are in the wet lab, you know, it's as if, you know, you put a bioinformatician in a wet lab, yeah, you cannot expect that everyone is an expert in everything. Mm-hmm. So this is very much the IT problem that we are addressing. The other one is the expertise problem. Yeah. So if you develop an analytical tool, then, you know, like, the back of your hand. Yeah. And usually it ends there. So if you want to use a tool for, you know, like, you know, computational statistical machine learning, you name it, for characterization of an antibody, predicts binding, biophysical properties, then you need to know how to use it. Yeah. And sometimes just using standard parameters, like, it might not be the way to go. Yeah. So either you just, you know, go to the person that actually developed it, yeah, like, might it be a PhD student, just, you know, flew out a long time ago. And, you know, it's quite difficult to say, like, you know, whether the results you're getting, like, you know, even the program doesn't crash, is actually, is this correct? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is basically just, you know, seeing that, like, you know, that, you know, there needs to be the accumulation of knowledge of, like, you know, how to actually, you know, make use of all the available computational tools for antibodies, and actually, and not only how to install all of them, how to actually, like, use them within the pharmaceutical pipelines, yeah, because not everyone has the same problem.
Mm-hmm. So you definitely help with setting up that infrastructure on customers' site, let's say, and then also how to use those tools. But there's also this database element.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is coming back to the analytics. Yeah, because, you know, on some, on the conference just before Christmas, yeah, I saw a very nice slide that was actually, you know, touching on the machine learning. Yeah, because I keep saying computational. I know that everyone is very much excited about machine learning right now, but, you know, it's a very computational, it's a very wide word of it. Yeah. And the basic resource for any computational methods is, you know, data. So the slide was saying is that generally, like, there is no way in hell that you're going to get garbage put this on a neural network and that's, you know, come rainbow science. Yeah, I think it was talked by Derek Mason from DeepCDR. And this actually, like, this shows very well, like, you know, the problem, yeah, that some people just, you know, either, like, you know, when you think that you're just going to develop, like, a really, really nice architecture that addresses some problem, if you do not get the data right, it's not going to work. Yeah. So this is something I just, you know, I kept hammering into the minds of, like, people working in my company, but also, like, you know, students, yeah, over the last couple of years. Any kind of analytical task is 99% data collection and cleaning, like, which might not be that nice. And there's just 1% is just, you know, developing and training, like, a cool computational methods. Yeah. Of course, like, it is an exaggeration, but this is precisely, like, where it started. Yeah. That's, like, you know, just to develop all those computational tools to use them better, we needed data. Yeah. So just, you know, started, like, collecting them from everywhere we could get our hands on. Yeah. So, like, in this meets patents, this meets scientific publications, NGS, therapeutics from FDA, from the WHO, you name it. Yeah. So because, you know, the data are spread out, like, in very, very widely. So we use this data for training the models. Yeah. Like, a very, very different models, across, you know, binding, biophysical properties. But the moment you get this data in one place, you know, it becomes a database. Yeah. So, like, you know, this allows you to answer question, yeah, which is, like, you know, what is known about a given sequence of an antibody? Like, you know, is there a similar one? Or is there something that was developed towards a given target that is known? Which actually, like, you know, is not just, you know, getting from this trivial question to the answer is not that easy, yeah? Because just, you know, Googling it, in most cases, it just won't help you.
I see. So I understand those separate parts better, but how do you kind of package them and offer them to the people? And I understand it might be, you might be just giving access to database or just helping with the infrastructure or maybe with the services you mentioned, like prediction of certain characteristics of antibodies. Yeah, so what kind of company size you would prefer as your ideal client, but how does that interaction work? What do you actually sell to them?
So it depends on the client. Yeah. Because, you know, it could be a very bioinformatics, a company like with a strong bioinformatics department. So, like, if they want everything in. So, like, you know, that's like, you know, when the methods just, you can go there. It could be a very much wet lab based. So, like, you know, this is when, and like, you know, they need a nice graphical user interface. So, like, you know, this is where, just, you know, access via website just, you know, comes in. But then there is also the element of, you know, that I kept talking about, that there are people behind all of those databases and tools that actually, like, you know, develop them. Yeah. And it's not on the basis of just, you know, going to some paper, just, you know, forking a GitHub repo and, you know, just, you know, selling it forward, but actually just, you know, developing those tools, understanding, like, from the ground up, like, how they work. So that's, like, you know, when we give access, like, we can just give access for to the teams to inspect, so, like, either internally by a command line, by a graphical user interface. But also, if someone just, you know, needs some more custom based services on the basis of our tools or data, then, you know, there is a whole team of people that, you know, are able to also provide this kind of expertise.
Would you mind highlighting a few of those services in more detail? For example, I'm a new company, I'm interested in the database, fine, we agree on that. And also I need certain tools and you came and installed, but there is then the services element. What does that entail?
So I'm going to use my usual answer. It depends on the client. Yeah. So people, the problem that is usually, you know, that like, and we are very often faced with, and this is, you know, like, you know, not a secret, is that people just, you need to sort their, you know, candidates. Yeah. Like they just, you know, a lot of sequences that they need to sort through them. And, you know, there are many very nice, online platforms out there and online tools to just, you know, perform clustering and so on. But like, you know, what we add is the, computational analysis part to it. Yeah. Which could be predictions of developability, which could be predictions of binding. And of course, like, you know, people can use just, you know, those predictions right away. But then, you know, we also provide the interpretation part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like, you know, if someone just, you know, sees, you know, some antibodies saying like, you know, from a million antibodies, those hundreds. Yeah. Someone can just, you know, say, okay, I'm just going to go with them. Yeah. But actually, like, you know, like, you know, this never happened. And usually they want to know why.
Okay. That's quite exciting. And then you've done provide, you said, this is a 100. Why we think that they have high developability? And then not only you give them the list, you also provide them a report explaining why you selected those 100, for example.
Well, not only I would explain. Yeah, precisely. Like, because, you know, it's one thing, with, there is a black box that just, you know, spits out what's out there. Yeah. But, you know, this is, you know, drug discovery, it's no secret, is a very nonlinear process. Yeah. You know, so one needs to make research decisions. And the data need to be informed. Sometimes, like, you know, you need to make an informed guess. And the more you understand it, like, you know, how the methods work, yeah, because, you know, we explain, like, you know, how we approach the problem. It's not on the basis of, like, we were saying, we have a black box. It doesn't work like that. You know, it's just as well, like, you know, you could just, you know, clone, like, you know, several repos from, like, you know, some very good research groups, package them together, and, you know, just, you know, keep hitting the sequences with them.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, you know, the best use of resources.
Can you give a few examples of the work that you have done before, if maybe from the names that you put on your website?
Yeah. So definitely, definitely sorting the sequences. Yeah. So if you're having the, like, a logic pool of sequences and, you need to figure out, like, in with there, just, you weed out some that, you know, you think might be bad.
Yeah.
And just like, which ones should carry on. Yeah. And this is very much, you know, a combination of the use of tools, understanding how the tools work, and being able to then interpret the results, but also, you know, like, in being honest, yeah, without the validation in the lab, like, you know, this is not a silver bullet. So, like, you know, this is precisely, like, you know, where I can see that, like, everyone is going. Yeah, that just, you know, to at some point just, you know, do away with the experiments. Yeah, of course, like, it's never going to be like that, because you need to validate your results.
But what you're offering is so valuable, isn't it? Because I'm imagining doing an immunization project or maybe a phage display library screening, end up finding not only tens, but maybe hundreds, thousands, ten thousands of binders, potential binders. And I just don't simply have the capacity to go and test all of them and prioritize somehow. That's where you step in and saying, look, this is the 100.
Yeah, precisely. So, you know, this is precisely it. Yeah. So developing the tools to actually tackle this kind of problem, understanding how those tools work, and being able to sit down with the client, like, you know, not on a, you know, project and basis that, you know, just like, you know, just give us a sequence and we're just going to run them through, here's the report, bye. Actually, just like, you know, this is, you know, we work with the clients as a partner. Yeah. Like, if they know how to use our tools, absolutely. Like, you know, they can use them. Yeah. But, there is a, There is a part to it that is really the interpretation. Yeah. Because, you know, then like you can sit down with like in the client, like, you know, not as a client, but actually like a partner, and you are working on this, on the problem together.
Mm-hmm. I know that you are at the, you know, high growth stage. Mm. So what's next for Natural Antibody? What really excites you, you know?
So this is basically just like, you know, going from, you know, just like, you know, being our tools, being the helper, to which you're like, you know, driving the discovery. Yeah. So like, I know that, like, you know, this is not a binary kind of a proposition, you know, that's like, you know, right then, you know, that right now, like, you know, we, you know, can just, you know, integrate into some pipelines that you can help. And then suddenly at some point, you know, like, you know, the bioinformatics actually provides you with the silver bullet, yeah, towards biologic development, you know. So scaling means that, you know, we can get more people on board, we can generate more data, we can train better models, like we can structure everything in a way that we have more control over how the models are trained. This is all going towards this, you know, tackling this non-binary problem, you know, like from just, you know, helper to actually like at some point being able to tell someone that, you know, this is the process that essentially, like, you know, can go from a target towards the clinic. Yeah. You know, there is a long way to go.
How far do you think we can push that? If you had 10 years, then, you know, the money wasn't a problem.
Oh, well, basically I can see that, this is something that, many companies are doing right now. Yeah. So, if you're asking me for time frames, I think that this is, you know, definitely like we're going to see this soon. Yeah, because, you know, over the last 10 years, I kept telling myself that soon enough, you know, there's going to be someone that just produces, good antibodies, like, you know, good antibodies, therapeutic antibodies in silico. I think that, you know, this is going to happen soon.
Mm. Not too many liabilities, functional, solvable, developables, high affinity, all coming out from the computational tools.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is, you know, it does sound too good to be true, right? But, like, you know, everything that this requires is just, you know, learning, teaching the machine, like, you know, how, you know, all the features of the antibody that are, you know, associated with those properties. Yeah. And like, you know, with enough time, training, and intelligent people doing the training, like, you know, this is achievable.
I'm a true believer that that's going to happen in our lifetime, and hopefully sooner than later, with companies like Natural Antibody, you know, contributing a lot. Now we just, I think, finish our 20-21 minute session. So I see that there's one question from Dr. Peter Pack. So I'm of a different generation. Libra and co developed the world's first synthetic library and a range of multispecific ones, willingly unnatural ones. Wrongly, I wrongly assume that this is better than natural. So it's a question. Why natural? Sure.
There is no connotation that natural is better. And actually, so maybe I'm just going to answer like why the name and address the other part. So named Natural Antibody because like, you know, at the time, like, you know, I was very much looking into next generation sequencing. Yeah, and like, and most of this was from was a naturally sourced. It was producing, like, you know, a lot of data that, you know, right, you know, we could then use for you know, analyzing B cell receptors and then and extrapolating to antibodies. And actually, like, you know, this is something that just like, you know, kept bugging me. You know, I spoke at a conference in San Diego in 2019 about that. So basically, like, what is the relationship between, you know, the natural antibody and, you know, the synthetic antibody? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's pretty obvious, yeah, that, like, we did not evolve our antibodies, you know, to, you know, have good shelf life. Yeah. So, like, you know, there there is a lot of engineering that needs to go into an antibody to, you know, first of all, like getting good biophysical properties, but also, you know, be trying to, you know, have similar therapeutic activity between, you know, different individuals. Yeah. Because, you know, my antibody like is not necessarily going to work in someone else. So this is the question that just, you know, was, you know, I was thinking about that like in quite a lot, and there is absolutely no connotation that like one is better than the other. Yeah. I feel like the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. With a natural start, but engineering along the way to suit the needs.
Absolutely. And because I think that like, if we call the company artificial antibody, I don't know, like maybe we should have.
Maybe your second startup.
A spin-off. Yeah.
The second one, Mohammed Mumtaz Nayar, is a research associate from University of Cambridge. Is it possible to sequence an unknown non-memory B cell post a viral infection or antigen challenge and then determine the antibody sequence? Can we identify novel antibodies this way?
Yeah, so I'm going to parse that. I'm going to say right away, I stand very much on the computational side. Yeah. And not very much in the lab. So usually, like, you know, I do know that like you can do cell sorting. I know that you can identify antigen specific cells. And I know that in many cases you do, like when you do an next-generation sequencing, like you do end up with data sets from which you still need to get the antigen specific sequences. Yeah. Because, you know, those can be mixed up with just, you know, your naive repertoire. Yeah. And like, and then there are definitely companies that, you know, that do want to identify novel antibodies from, you know, previous exposures. I think like, that this is the proposition of Alchemy Therapeutics. Yeah. That like, they are looking at the resilient individuals and just, you know, trying to figure out like what's driving the resilience.
Yeah. I think going back to the targets from that point rather than starting from the target.
Mm.
Joe is asking, on the topic of data being very important, are there certain forms of data that you see as underutilized at the moment? And why is that?
Underutilized. Well, I can only say from the scientific literature, there are certain parts that are underutilized. So for instance, data from scientific papers, because this is really hard to get. Yeah. Like, and this is something that like, you know, in my company, like we had just, you know, had for the last, like, how many, you know, decades, sprints, let's say, just, you know, people manually just, you know, going through papers and figuring out like, you know, what is the sequence of an antibody and is there a binder? Yeah. Like, is there a target to it? Yeah. So this is the data that I think is very much underreported because, in theory, it should end up in GenBank. And sometimes it does, but more often than not, it's just, you know, somewhere the supplementary material and so on. Sometimes you cannot figure out the antigen or the target because, you know, you just, you know, get the protein name, but I mean, like, is it the human variant? Is it the mouse variant? You know, it doesn't matter. The other one that, you know, I keep advocating for is, patents, because I think that like, as much as, I'm wary of the fact that, you know, people just, you know, do not put very functional data in patents, meaning that, you know, it's not for scientific knowledge, but actually just for protecting obfuscation. I think that there, you know, at least should be some knowledge encapsulated that is in the orbit of, you know, the, let's say, couple of hundred therapeutics that are on the market right now. Yeah. And if you can, you know, go from those, like a couple of hundred therapeutics, and show you like, you know, what, you know, a good, well-behaved antibody after lots of rounds of experimentation and people thinking about it look like, it's so much better if you can actually figure out like how you can get the same amount of information from a couple of 100,000 sequences from patents. Yeah. Because here right now, when I'm looking at the scientific literature, like, you know, there's a lot of people using structures and a lot of people using NGS or very much ad hoc, device data sets, you know, that are unfortunately not shared.
Yeah, I think that there has been a discussion recently that in the UK, anything that's publicly funded has to contribute the data generated from that effort into somewhere more accessible. Okay. I see three more questions. Maybe we could get through them quickly. Let me see. So from Michael, for sorting sequences to find the best candidate to move forward with, what criteria does natural antibody consider?
Okay, so I'm going to, you know, use my usual trump card, which is it depends. You know, if we are just, you know, given a set of sequences and you don't know much else about them, then, you know, we are very much flying in the dark, because it's much better to actually, like, you know, what is the target that, like, that you know, the team is pursuing, like, you know, what was the strategy right now, like, you know, what worked, what didn't work. It's, as I said, like, it's very much depends. And, like, you know, it's a lot of, like, you know, thinking ad hoc about that.
Okay.
It's not a linear problem. And, like, you know, we do not have, you know, linear answers.
So moving on to the next one. So this is from John Zhang, president of DAB Immunotech. Do you look for business partners in USA and China?
We always look for partners. You know, it's, you know, we are a company, so if there is a mutual benefit to be had, like, you know, we always want to have a conversation.
Okay. I see two more. One of them is from Cyberland. I don't know if I can show this on stage. I'll give it a go. Can you see it better?
So I can see the question of, can you redefine?
Yes, that's the one.
Your prioritization strategy using the knowledge graphs for the novel antibody design from scratch. Is your approach based on sequence structural similarity when searching for them? So we're using knowledge graphs to mostly sort our data sets for training. You know, to be able to just weed out, like, you know, what should not be used, like, you know, what should be used, but also just to predict, like, you know, what could be, like, in the current holes, like, in our knowledge of, like, you know, what, like, can we see of the antibody space. Yeah. And actually, this is something where knowledge graphs are pretty good, because, you know, they just, you know, show, like, how, you know, biased, like, you know, certain, data sets, are, and how biased, the different sources are, you know, with, patterns and structures, like, just having a lot of, overlap, you know, which you don't actually need a knowledge graph for to, get that. And, yeah, like, we are using, you know, sequence similarity, structural similarity, but also, of course, like, you know, this is something that, I think is, like, much more important to, you know, the, learned similarities of antibodies. Yeah. Because, you know, it has been, because if you're just going by, you know, an easy example, just, you know, the sequence similarity, just clonotyping, it has already been shown that, just antigen specificity is just, you know, it's much more wide than just, you know, figuring out, like, when you share a CDRH3 and, you know, your gene calls. Yeah. So statistically, you know, being able to determine whether, two sequences that can be just, you know, different genes, like, you know, slightly similar, different CDRs to me, whether, like, if they do share similarity to target the same antigen, like, and this is the future. So, embeddings.
I see a lot of kind of deep questions from different levels. Thanks for answering all of them. There's one more from David Prioda, UCT Prague. I will read it out because some people might be just listening to this later on. Are you following the open source use of OAS? And that might be observable antibody space, I think. Yep. What directions you are excited about?
Yeah, so we do make some of our databases and, like, some of our tools freely available, because, you know, I do believe that, like, you know, there definitely should be some give back. And well, yeah, like, there are many directions I'm very excited about. I don't know, like, whether it's mostly about the data or is it about the method development, but I'm going to cover both. So, like, in terms of data, like, you know, I, right now that, like, we, you know, put a lot of effort in actually just the public data. Like, I'm not even covering like the experimental data that could be generated. Yeah. Just, you know, putting public data in one place and actually seeing, you know, everything that, you know, has been developed or like, you know, what it was that being developed against, like, and there's quite a lot of interesting information just here comes out of that. And actually just, you know, it's very much a reflection of like, you know, where people's thinking was going, development of antibody drugs. In terms of methods, yeah, definitely I'm excited to, you know, see like, you know, what, you know, such data can do for method development. So generally just looking what we are covering with Murat earlier and just, you know, going from, you know, just, you know, the bioinformatics department, just, you know, being the, you know, the helper of actually just being a driving force behind biologic discovery.
Fantastic. I know that there are more questions, but we can always answer them in the networking session. So before we move on to the networking session, first of all, thank you very much for joining and contributing, you know, your great knowledge on the antibodies and talking us through about natural antibody. Is there anything that you would like to get out of this show or talking to the audience? It could be, you know, new partnerships, further funding, recruitment.
Well, we are definitely looking for, you know, good engineers. We're definitely looking for, you know, we're always looking for more people that, you know, we can work with, like, you know, which could be either on the very much, you know, partnering basis or a client basis. And Jenny, like anything that, like you think that like we're doing, that, you know, would be of value to you, your organizations internally. Yeah, because, you know, as I said, like, you know, we do see some common denominators with between many organizations, but like in every new client we face, like, you know, I just do not stop being amazed, you know, how, you know, nonlinear the discovery process is.
Yeah. On that note, thank you very much again for joining us today, Konrad, and for our audience for being there. We will be moving on to the networking session.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you everyone for tuning in.